Hey, this is John Bailey, and you're listening to A Stark Contrast with Jeffrey and I.
Yeah! Da-da-da-da-da! Fry! Yummy, yummy!
Yeah, welcome back to the show. It's a wonderful introduction we had for our episode from John Bailey, the epic voice guy, who's absolutely monumental. We'll talk a little bit more about him throughout this episode, but I wanted to talk about all of our incredible news that we've gotten in the last week, I think, from Marvel Universe. So first and foremost, Fantastic Four. First reactions. What do you think? Deuce. What's how you feeling, Jeff? How you feeling?
I had a follower of the pod and one of my best friends, Nick.
Yeah.
He texted me. He was like, "Are we back?"
I know. I was thinking in my head. I was watching it. I was like, "Oh man, Jeff, we're so back.
He's like, "Is Marvel back? Are we back?" I was like, "Oh, we're so back."
As someone who feels like it hasn't really receded. I too am also like, no, we're definitely back.
Yeah, I think so I watched it like many more times today.
Yeah.
I love that. Okay, well, I don't want to stay too much on this, but I was just like, I love that they started with Ben Grimm as the Thing.
Yeah.
Like that was like the most you're going to get.
Up. Yeah.
They're just like, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cause you know, everyone was probably waiting with bated breath. Like, ooh, what's he going to look like?
Yeah. How's he going to look like?
Yeah.
And then you just open up with him and Herbie and it's like,
yeah. A little more zing.
Yeah. Just a little more
zest or zip.
Yeah. And it's just so like fun. I don't know if it was intentional, but it was just like you're starting off the guy who's known for a kid who's being in a kitchen, and you're starting, and the first thing you show him is him in the kitchen as the Thing.
Cousin.
And it was just, so good. They all look good.
I think they look great.
They all feel like their characters.
I just am really, and very immediately, and have been since the first teaser.
Yeah.
Into that world that they've already established, that is a retro futuristic world. I'm like, oh, love every single minute of that. I love it. All the aesthetic. Oh, it's so good.
I love how we didn't see Mr. Fantastic's powers. We never saw that at all.
That's true. Maybe they're holding that.
Saw that. Yeah. We saw John Malkovich.
Yeah.
Don't know who he plays.
We don't know who he's playing.
And then we see, you know, the big
Galacta?
Galacta. You better stop that vehicle.
Such a good meme. Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh. So Galacta is Galactus Sis? What are they?
I don't know.
What's their relation?
She was created for rivals. Speaking of
rivals.
Got it.
There you go.
So.
I was going to say.
It's literally the Iwu.
Got it.
Waifu version of Galactus. That'd
be funny if she's.
Better stop that vehicle.
Or you have Galacta like warning the city of New York. He's coming in 30 seconds.
Oh, stop.
Like, oh, no.
Can you imagine? Oh, my God.
And then just Sue Storm is just like, disappear.
That'd be amazing. But everything was great.
I'm so excited.
Depiction was great. And someone mentioned on Twitter, we reshared it on our account, but someone said how awesome it was that even the smallest details you can already see in the trailer, right? Like when Johnny jumps off the balcony and then he kind of like does this turn into the camera. You see the camera lens change.
Yeah.
As if it were being dealt with like
fire.
Flame. Yeah, so cool. And then of course, you know, is it Michael Giacchino's score?
Incredible. The ending part of the score.
So
I was
good.
Like, whoa.
It's incredible. Absolutely incredible. So love it. I'm ready.
Excited.
I can't believe it's this year. I can't believe even more that it's only 5 months away.
July is going to be a crazy month for movies.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. With Superman as well.
And Jurassic Park. And Jurassic Park is in the middle of both of those.
Jurassic World. Yeah. Back to back to back. So it's just like going to be, it's going to be a great month to be a fan. That's for sure. And so speaking of being a, you know, a great time to be a fan, yeah, Jeff and I were just talking about my trip to El Florida and Walt Disney World, and I did a full run, but primarily I finally, oh my gosh, it feels like a million years, even though it's only been out for two, I finally got to ride the Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Remix or Rewind. Cosmic Rewind ride. And oh my gosh, absolutely amazing. I hate saying it because I'm so dedicated to Disneyland.
Yes.
But that ride trumps the breakout mission breakout pretty hard. And so I was about to explain to Jeff that the ride once again was like created for this theme. There was no existing ride like Breakout was. And so in this ride, the Guardians of the Galaxy, the traditional five, are up against Ison, which is one of the Celestials.
Got it.
And he has stolen this Nova Core core, which is like an energy core that helps them teleport and create the portal holes that the Guardians travel through and other people travel through space.
Yeah.
So he wants to essentially, Ison wants to revert time back to the beginning of the cosmos and eradicate all humanity.
Oh my gosh.
And so you have ventured to the Nova Core station and then you're stuck because there's no way to get you out. So then the Guardians are essentially trying to save everyone.
Okay.
And as they all of existence.
Yep, yeah. As they should.
It's so great. And they're cracking jokes. They're doing the good stuff. It's, you know, it's amazing. And the ride itself is so great because it starts out, you just get put into this track and it's a giant screen. It goes backwards.
Oh my gosh.
It goes backwards, then forwards, but it makes revolutions. It turns. The cart swivels with the ride. So you're not stationary. You're actually like
moving. Is it almost like Rise of the Resistance, but less roller coastery?
More roller coastery.
More roller coastery.
Yeah, kind of, sort of. There's no like, you know, you're not going through a ride that's dressed. Uh-huh. It's all graphics and screen.
Got
with
it.
Music, but it's so great. Oh, you're gonna have to beat me there. But it's that great. And so they had six different songs, and so the ride, unlike Breakout, the ride doesn't change depending on the song, but it does totally give it a different vibe.
Love that.
And so I first got like Flock of Seagulls, and then I got Gloria Estefan.
Oh my gosh.
Do that conga. Yeah.
Wow, they got those? That's
and
crazy.
And then my last one was, what was it? I can't even remember. It was just all so great. But I had a great time. I did indeed cry the first time I went on it because it was so glorious and I was so happy.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I don't know if I'm ever going to get to ride this ride. But it was a great time. They didn't have much else otherwise, though. That is literally the only major ride in Epcot Center. So if I were to do it again, probably would focus a little more on go on Guardians, leave the park. But it was a great time. And another great time, actually, the minute I came back from Florida, the next day, I went to the Insomniac 30th anniversary event, which Jeff unfortunately had to miss out on.
Yes.
But oh my God, what a great tour. Like, it was a great event. It was low key. It was pretty casual. And it wasn't high maintenance whatsoever. It was quite literally, you check in, you take a photo at the photo booth, you wait for your tour. And then in the meanwhile, you could meet and greet with their developers and their animators, their script writers. And so I met the guy who did the Herald storyline, the homeless guy. Yeah. And, you know, all these people who were individually, you know, responsible for portions of all three games. Including the CEO and founder, Ted Price, who just recently retired. So this was his last big event, I think. Yeah. And so they have a new crew coming in. But, you know, I got me and however many people got to go to this thing. I think it was probably 200.
Oh, wow.
Maybe. It was very, very intimate, you know. And we were never in the same spot at the same time because they were churning out that tour. And it was a two-hour tour.
Whoa.
Throughout the entire building. So we got to see the mocap studio, got to hear got to sit with the sound department and how they laced and layered the voiceover with the sound effects team.
And for the game and all the games and everything.
It was so cool and actually a tour of their space too. So got to see their desks and all the neat stuff that they've collected over the years. It's so great. But one of my favorite things, of course, was the final meet and greet with the panelists as well as the talent. So I got everyone to sign my Spider-Man 1 game like poster in the corner.
Nice. There.
And so I got a lot of the developers, not everybody, but most importantly, I got to meet and get signatures from Yuri Lowenthal, who is our Peter Parker.
Goat.
Insomniac Peter Parker. Yeah, absolutely amazing. I gushed over him so hard. I was just like, I was like, your voice, your performance as Peter is just so fantastic in every single thing you do. Laura Bailey, who I am pretty sure I have a crush on. It's just like, okay, this is my second time meeting her, but it wasn't like, I didn't get to talk to her much the first time because it was a photo thing in Seattle like a year and a half ago. And I actually got to talk to her this time, and it's so great because, yeah, she is also Abby from The Last of Us.
Yeah.
And Black Widow in Marvel Rivals and Marvel's Avengers. And so she's absolutely incredible. Love her, love her, love her. Najee Jeter, who is Miles Morales, and as well as Sam in The Last of Us. He was also there. Absolutely great guy. He actually remembered me. He said, "You look really familiar to me."
Wow.
And I was like, "We've never actually met, but we both go to GalaxyCon." And he was like, "That's right." And I was like, "Yeah, I do management on the comic book side." And he's like, "That's right." And so I was like, "Yeah, I've seen you like in the green room, but I have never wanted to bother you." Cause I was like, "Oh, it's Miles." But I'm like, let the man eat his lunch. It's good. I'm just going to leave him alone. And he was like, "No, that's cool." And so like we're pretty much like chatting it up, and we're like, maybe next time we're both at the show, we're going to actually like talk more and chill out. It's going to be really cool. So yeah, that's great. And then just a bonus, I got to meet Jennifer Hale, who is a video game voiceover icon.
Uh-huh.
She was there as well. And so, woof, amazing. And she's Jean Grey in X-Men 97.
Yes.
And Madeline Pryor. And so getting to meet her was, oh man, I kind of fumbled on my words, but my goodness. Great talent, great people. It was such a great event. And I'm so sad you didn't get to come with me.
I know.
Maybe there'll be another one.
Anybody ask about Wolverine?
No, which is crazy. Oh, I was dying for it. And me and another guy, when we were walking through the tour, one of their hallways has the gigantic splash art of Wolverine's back at the bar.
Yeah.
It's on one of their hallway walls.
Yeah.
And I looked at this guy and I was like, oh shoot. And I like leaned back and took a picture and I looked at him and he was like, oh. And we both had this moment of like, should we ask? And then I was like, I hope they say something. He's like, yeah, I know. I hope they say something. They never said a word.
Like when?
Not even a word.
Man.
It was kind of like the elephant in the room where it was like,
yeah, just because of the big leak and everything.
I assume so. Like, it was probably really tough on their end.
You
know what I mean? But we were all so Spider-Man and Ratchet and Clank and every other game that they've produced. We were so into that.
Yeah.
No one even thought to go, like, what about Wolverine?
Yeah.
But hopefully we'll get some news about it. Something else that's actually just hit the radar, you know, last on this list of things to talk about before we dive into this episode, no pun intended. Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man has officially debuted on Disney+.
I know,
Plus.
Yeah. I've only been able to see the first episode.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I finally caught up because I forgot. I was like, gosh, I was in Florida when it dropped. And so I thought I was super behind. I thought it was like 6, 7, 8 episodes behind, but thankfully it was only 2. So I caught up last night. As of this dropping of the episode, they're officially halfway through the season. 5 episodes will be out.
Yeah, I know. Jeez.
Yeah. And then it's 10 seasons long. The series, the season is 10 episodes long. So we're officially at the halfway point with new episodes dropping Wednesdays through February 19th. So, what any initial thoughts of the show?
So far,
yeah.
I mean, interesting, very interesting.
Yeah,
I don't mind the animation
style. It's like a
mishmash,
right?
Yeah,
just things.
I'm just
kind of
like, oh yeah, because I only finished the first episode. Mm-hmm. I still have to catch up.
Yeah,
I don't know why I haven't. I'm just all over the place.
Yeah, same.
But no, yeah, it looks fun. It looks cool. You know, your typical cool, like adult Spidey. I like that it's almost like a little bit modern too.
Yeah, It's very, yeah. very modern. Feels modern.
Yeah.
It's great. It's very reminiscent of many things, like a classic Spider-Man with a... It reminds me the style is a modern take on John Romita's artwork. Mm-hmm. So we're talking like 70s-ish? 80s?
Mm-hmm.
70s. Which I absolutely love. And so... Yeah, I think it's very interesting to see the characters they've chosen as well, because I noted that Luna Snow, well, not Luna Snow, what am I even saying? I jumped the shark on that one, no pun intended.
Nice. Love that.
Oh my God, I can't stop. That Nico Minoru,
yes.
who is his bestie, originally was supposed to be Jessica Jones, for the record, because they were friends in high school in the comics, but they've planted Nico, they also put Pearl... who's Pearl Pangan,
yes.
I believe, and they had Amadeus Cho. Now, if you know anything and paid attention to anything we've said in the past about Asian characters, those three characters already are part of the Agents of Atlas group. So I was like, oh, are they gonna...
Yeah.
Are they going to throw a little Shang-Chi and maybe Jubilee and Luna Snow into this mix? And the other girl, I keep forgetting, Armor, her uh-huh. too. These are all characters that make up another, like, basically an Asian Avengers.
But I'll take it.
Yeah, it's very interesting. And then just the way the origin story is panning out is really interesting as well. So, yeah, it's been a fun watch. I like it a lot. I'm not like in love with it like I am like X-Men 97, for instance.
Uh-huh.
But I absolutely think it's great. It's fun. And I'm very excited to see what else happens. But yeah, you'll enjoy those episodes when you catch up. I was they ended
on
a great cliffhanger on episode 2 alone. I was like, oh, shoot.
Okay.
So I'm sure the new ones they've dropped are no different. Oh, and by the way, if Pete sounds familiar, he's voiced by Hudson Thames, who also played Spidey in the What If series. So he's the guy that voice matched with Tom Holland, which is very interesting because he doesn't sound quite the same.
Yeah.
He sounds like familiar, but not the same. But yeah, he's great. And very curious how that's gonna pan out. And so with all that said, Jeff, are you ready to take the plunge? And just a reminder before we do this, we're not experts and we don't claim to be. We're just a couple of nerds nerding out. And in this episode, we're nerding out all about Jeff. Jeff the Land Shark. He doesn't actually talk, but yes, Jeff the Land Shark.
It's me.
It's Jeff. Yeah, if you haven't seen Jeff's avatar on social media, go check that out and take a closer look.
Oh, yeah.
And so Jeff, in the comics, created by Kelly Thompson and Daniel DiNucolo, in his first appearance, this is a little tricky because... Although Jeff appeared in West Coast Avengers Volume 3, Number 6, cover dated October 2018, he was not named until the subsequent issue of Number 7, cover dated January 2019. So we're going to talk about that one specifically as far as the price goes. And so there's a lot of things in this episode that are going to be abnormal, not the stereotypical, like, we're going to have a definitive answer for all things.
Yeah.
But it's an interesting learning curve, especially for a character that's so modern. He's quite honestly 5.5 years old. Huh. 6 years old.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And so while the issue doesn't have a formal title, it's referred to either by the issue number 6 hook, which is "Come with me if you want to live," as well as the cover text of the issue, "The Return of Marvel Boy." So this is the cover, which features our Kate Bishop.
Oh, yeah.
And this is Navarre, who is Marvel Boy. He's the half-Kree.
Navarre. Is his name backwards Raven?
No, it's not spelled the same.
Oh.
N-O-H hyphen V-A-R-R.
Oh, it's not fun.
Oh, that's a great thought, right? And so this is the cover. No particular notable attributes for this one, but do you want to guess the cover price? So
this is a modern 2019?
2019.
$30. Because modern inflation sucks.
Yeah.
Well, it's 2019, so it was before the pandemic. So yeah.
Just before,
crappy inflation.
Before the end of time.
Dude, how much work? Dude, see, look, I can do 1950s to the 80s. I can ballpark it. Yeah. It's either 10 or it's 25.
Yeah, exactly.
Modern ones?
Yeah. But I will say, for the most part, the price for this one has not changed in a few years. It really, now it depends if it's a variant or if it's deluxe, yeah, and that's it. But they haven't really changed anymore.
$599?
Too high.
Damn!
Wow. That would hurt the wallet hard.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So just a bit over.
$279.
Too low.
Damn it!
One more try.
$599, too high. $395.
4 cents off, man. $399.
Ah.
So $399. These are $399.
Okay.
And so this is, I think it's because it's also so new, I wasn't able to find it in particular areas. I didn't find a graded version on Shortbox for sale at all. People have probably bought them. Let's be honest. Yeah. With this game, people are probably,
they're more curious. They're like, who is this annoying shark?
Well, they're going to be very surprised because this issue, again, atypical. This is not the same Jeff we're readily introduced to. But on eBay, I did find a CGC 9.8 for, do you want to guess? Did you look already?
No, I didn't.
Guess.
9.8?
Jeff the Land Shark.
Is it over three figures? No, like, is it three figures?
Oh, is it? Yes.
Okay. How much is Jeff worth?
He is priceless.
That's what I'm saying. 300?
No, more.
Oh, my gosh.
$495.
Jesus,
500
Jeff.
Bazookas. Yeah. And then the lowest graded, also, again, did not find any CGC on Shortbox. So the lowest graded I found, lowest on eBay, 9.2.
Wow.
Because everybody's taking care of this issue because it's so modern. So it was 9.2 for $150.
Okay.
Not bad.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You can get a decent copy.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. 100% gettable. And then the fair market value for the book varies depending on where you get it from, but it goes from about $100 to $400, depending. And then if you just want the issue, you're able to find it in the wild, don't pay more than $100. It should be about $50 to $100 if you find it. Definitely on my list now. The issue itself is not super duper compelling as far as Jeff the Land Shark is concerned, but it's definitely worth having because of how immensely popular he has become. So first exposure to this character, Jeff, is that kind of a...
I mean, it's got to be the game.
It's got to be the game. Wow.
Yeah. It's got to be the
That's
game.
That's funny. So did you see the concept art first, or is literally playing the first
probably
time?
Probably like seeing like the first, like, because I follow a lot of, not follow, but like I got recommended a lot of like video game streamers, YouTubers, gamers, like on Twitch and everything. And so, because Call of Duty is in a really bad spot, everyone's kind of playing... when Marvel Rivals came out, people were playing Marvel Rivals.
Oh, wow.
And so that's when videos of Jeff, and they're like, oh my God, look, he's so cute. And then it's like, wait, no, this guy sucks. Jeff is killing me.
Literally.
So,
yeah. Yeah,
yeah. So it has to be
the game. That's funny. And that makes perfect sense. Because I think, to be perfectly honest, I think the ratio, if I were to give it one, I would say 85% of people who know about him, Rivals. And then there's like probably like 10% of people who know him from the comics, and then 5% that may have seen him in other things. Like he's kind of floating around between titles. He doesn't actually talk or anything.
Yeah.
But they plant him places, you know what I mean? Like Comic Con, for instance. Like they had a Jeff plush. Like if you didn't know who he was, you're like, oh, that's a cute shark. But deceiving for sure. For me, definitely comics, because I love Gwenpool. And so.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I've heard that.
Yeah. Gwenpool.
Jeff spends a lot of time with
Gwen. Yeah. So.
Deadpool too? And Deadpool?
And Deadpool as well. Yeah. Okay. So it was definitely an in through the comics for me. And so I kind of latched onto him very early on in his career. And as far as his bio, he actually, again, untraditional as for, you know, from soup to nuts. So he doesn't have, as far as I understand, he doesn't have any training cards, digital or physical. But let's just refer to his Marvel Rivals bio for the short story of it all. So if you log on to the game and you select Jeff and see his profile, it says, "What's more huggable than a puppy, but hungrier than a great white? It's Jeff. This baby shark may be one of the most unusual and adorable creatures to ever waddle his way out of the ocean. But anyone who's crossed Jeff's path can tell you that behind his sweet little bark is one nasty bite. After getting captured and displayed as a curiosity at the collector's theme park, Jeff broke free when the time stream entanglement scrambled reality. Now's his chance to prove he's a hero, one chomp at a time."
Wow.
So it gives you, again, no pun intended, a bite-sized version of like the bigger story, which is interesting for Rivals because we've only unlocked like the first chapter of every character's story so far.
Yeah.
Like we haven't even begun to get deeper into it. So we'll talk a little bit more about all of that as we go along here. And it's very, actually very interesting. I learned a few things here and I was like, oh, this is kind of cool. So given how little we even have about him, it's great to see that we have something to land on. So when it comes to comics, Jeff the Land Shark, his full name is Jeffrey.
Yeah.
Jeffrey.
I'm not. My name's not spelled the same way, but I'll take it.
It's the same. Same sentiment. So unlike practically every other character we've covered on the show, Jeff doesn't have a traditional origin story in the comics. And although Jeff makes his official debut later on down the line, the concept of the Land Shark itself originates in the first issue of West Coast Avengers with a pretty cold start. So this is said cold start. And it is quite literally, you open the book, and my screenshot is kind of tiny, but you're immediately greeted with many, 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 many land sharks, but they're full grown.
Full as grown you can land see. Sharks, yeah.
Full grown land sharks. That's and funny. It's just Kate Bishop losing her mind. And Clint is like, oh, whoops, I should probably
help her.
Help her. And you know, she's on comms and she sends America Chavez to go fetch him.
Wow.
Because he's in New York.
Wow.
So boom boom, star, boop, pulls him
so
out.
Funny.
Brings him to California because she's here. And so she has, this is a point, I think we mentioned it in both our Kate Bishop and Jessica Jones episodes, that after she is mentored by Jessica,
mm-hmm.
she decides that she's going to hike, go to California, and then become a private investigator. That's like her thing.
Mm.
She's like, everybody's got New York taken care of. What about California?
Yeah.
So she comes to California to do her thing. And she quickly realizes that with a weighty amount of superheroes located on the East Coast, the West Side was left particularly vulnerable, and thus the idea to start a new team was born. So Kate, especially in this book, her fresh assemblage included both she and Clint, Gwenpool, America, Kid Omega, that's Quentin Quire, for those of you who know him as that, and Fuse, who was kind of like one of her romantic interests,
mm-hmm.
later joined by Novar. And the namesake itself, West Coast Avengers, was lifted from a team that had originally debuted in 1984, consisting of Hawkeye, Mockingbird, Vision, Wonder Man, Tigra, and Iron Man.
Whoa.
But Jim Rhodes. It was Jim Rhodes as Iron Man at the time. And we've talked a little bit about that in our Rhodey episode as well. And so the team then encounters a number of like wacky, whimsical incidents, including these land sharks. So it's not what you would call like a serious book.
Yeah,
it's very, very wacky. Again, land sharks, and so Kate, the condition that Kate has received, like she got funding to start this team. You know, like you can't really do it broke. You need some sort of compensation or monetary backing. And so she got money. But the one caveat was that they had to allow a film crew to follow them around. So it's a reality TV show.
That's
type.
So funny.
Yeah. So they have this camera crew coming around, following them, and they capture these moments. And the crew, as you're reading the comics, they react to things like Modern Family. Like there's something happening,
whoa,
and then it'll cut to like Hawkeye in a chair, and he's like, "Yeah, I told her not to do that." And then it cuts back, and there's an explosion or something. It's really, really funny as far as that's concerned, because the Hawkeyes are pretty comical, if you ask me. And so the Land Sharks themselves. So again, they made their debut in issue 1, and then returned in issue 6. And so I have a screenshot. If you look very closely, there's this tiny shark that when Gwenpool is fighting, this is not the one, but you get it. So again, life-size, full-size sharks are everywhere,
so crazy,
right? And they still don't understand, where are these sharks coming from, right? And in one of the panels, you see Gwenpool running, and there's just a little one. There's a little guy.
Aww. Oh,
and so you're like, oh, okay, you don't really think much about it. But the thing is, with Gwenpool in particular, speaking of wacky and whimsical, when she came into the series, she became another layer of comic relief, not unlike her lethal counterpart, Deadpool. So she's cracking jokes, a little bit inappropriate, you know, doing her thing.
Of course.
But one of her running gags in the comics was that she would, if they were like saving a cat,
yeah,
for instance, she like almost sacrifices her life to save a cat from a burning car, immediately adopts the animal. Oh, I'm going to take him and he's mine.
Mm.
And she was like, I'll name him Jeff. And she named the cat Jeff. But then subsequently, everyone's like, Gwen, where's your cat? She's like, I don't know. And so she loses these animals as she goes along, adopts another one. His name is Jeff.
Yeah.
Loses whatever it is. And then the same happened in this instance. She then finds this tiny shark.
Of course.
They're done fighting, it trots up to her and he comes through. And she's like, so, hey guys, I need you to not freak out. And then... And she's like, because this is Jeff and I love him and he's coming home with us.
That is a cute shark.
And he's a cute shark. But what you'll notice is that, look at that Jeff.
Yeah.
And look at this Jeff. Is there anything in particular that is a little different?
The legs.
So they originally drew Jeff with the fins and the legs.
Yeah.
So he's technically like 6. Whereas now he is just the front paws, the back paws, and then
the fin,
the tail,
the shark fin.
That's
tail,
it.
Yeah.
Yeah. He doesn't have the flippers on the side anymore. So they've minimalized him to make him look more cute.
Yeah.
Obviously.
I mean, yeah. What a cutie patootie.
Yeah, he's such a cutie. But yeah, so they've taken him away from the very pup looking to a pup, but the right
in shark form.
The right way. Yeah. So he's super duper cute. So yes, the circumstance is the same. She's like, oh, well, he was chasing to kill me at first, but now he's adorable. His
yes.
name is Jeff and I love him.
Yes.
And so he becomes her buddy from then on. And so amidst all this chaos, it's revealed that MODOK.
Wow.
Under the guise of BRODOK. Do you remember we talked about BRODOK? So under the guise of BRODOK, MODOK created these land sharks with seemingly no real purpose but to cause magnificent mayhem for the team. That's all he did. He was
so
like,
funny.
How can I give them grief and annoyance? Let me make land sharks. And he makes land sharks. And it works. And so by the time issue number 6 rolls around, the team is met with the second shiver of sharks. So that's a group of sharks. It's called a shiver.
A shiver?
Mm-hmm. Do you know what a group of mice are called? Or rats?
No.
Mischief.
What?
It's a mischief of mice. Yeah. Shiver of sharks and a mischief of mice.
A shiver of... All right, I guess.
It's like, you know, like a herd of cattle. Same thing.
Yeah, but herd...
A pack of wolves.
Yeah, that.
But how
a
dope
shiver?
Is... A shiver.
And
shiver.
A mischief?
Yeah.
Mischief is...
Science!
Sure. Continue.
Yeah. And so in issue 7, she adopts the tiniest of them all, and the rest is history. That's it. No origin story. That's it. They don't show him creating them. They don't show why there's a little one. He just shows up. And then he's in the group, and he is officially now like a Marvel mascot, masterclass level.
Pretty much.
So Jeff the Landshark on the video game side, voiced by, again, epic voice guy, John Bailey.
So good.
First and currently seen in 2024 is Marvel Rivals video game, free to download on various platforms, developed and published by NetEase Games and directed by Guanjun Chen. So on Metacritic, I had to see. I was like, what is Metacritic rating this game?
Yeah.
So the game currently stands at a 74 out of 100 overall rating, which is basically a B. And it has a 7.2 out of 10 on the audience scale. Again, a B. And so that's kind of interesting. So it's
not bad.
Mixed reviews. That's fine. I get it. It's also not your traditional game if you're just like a gamer like me who doesn't play PvPs at all. And so I was like, okay, I get it. And interestingly enough, there is no official Earth designation for the Rivals crew. So there's no Earth 72643 or whatever. Yeah. Nothing. They don't have one yet because it's a mixed bag, as you can tell. And but as you know, as the in-game lore goes, like we said up top, Jeff was captured and then displayed as a curiosity at the collector's theme park, broke free when the time stream entanglement scrambled reality. And so, for those of you who do not know, this initial storyline of Rivals stems from a battle between Dr. Doom and his 2099 counterpart. And so this was in, I think, season 0. And because this is technically season 1,
I think so.
Yeah, so season 0, they kind of touched on this. You have to read like the depth of it. It's like pages and pages long.
Yeah, I don't think I've even like got into the lore here.
Yeah, the lore is very dense already. And so, yeah, it's between two versions of Dr. Doom, and the two clashed and they created this catastrophic event known as the time stream entanglement, leaving multiple timelines interconnected. So that's what you'll see, like if you jumped in now and you get that Fantastic Four loading screen and all this chaos is happening, like why is there vampires? What is happening? And even when you play like a quick round, a lightning match or something, and you listen to the character interactions, you can tell they're like they know each other, but don't know each other.
Yeah.
And so it's all because of this time stream entanglement. It's basically, they want to say it's a multiversal explosion of some sort.
Yeah.
They just don't use those words. And so that's why some of the characters interact the way that they do. That's why, like, Tony, when he sees Wanda, he's like, Wanda, is that you? You look different. And she's like, yes, Tony. And she says whatever she said. And so, So some of their familiars are now unrecognizable or seem familiar in a strange way. And it is interesting because, like, the Guardians of the Galaxy, however, they seem to all be from the same timeline. So that's that Guardians group, but they don't know. They know other people, but they don't know them.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. And so as far as Jeff is concerned, Jeff then became friends with an empath as he was held in the collector's prison. Of course, this is Mantis, speaking of Guardians of the Galaxy. So while he was imprisoned, he meets Mantis, and they break free from the prison with the help of Psylocke, who is that awesome Psylocke that comes from who knows where. And so they're all there in this collective like space trying to get free of this prison that they're in. And then the freedom is short-lived, though, because they're trapped in this battle world scenario. So each round that you're playing as the gamer is essentially playing out the storyline of they're trying to get out.
Yeah.
And that's why you gotta stop that vehicle. like
better stop that vehicle. Yeah. I'm gonna kill myself.
Because they're trapped in this scenario that they have to battle alternate versions of themselves to get free of this world. And that's why it's a little deeper than it seems. But,
yeah.
You know, it's dulled down. The dramatics are dulled down because obviously it's a video game, but the baseline is that everyone's trying to get home. And again, you get that vibe with the voiceover that's occurring in the lobby and the spawn area and all that stuff. And so it's worth noting that the lore that we have learned about Jeff thus far in Rivals is only based off of the first chapter. And there's still two more pending. So you get the vibe that, okay, he likes Mantis and he likes Psylocke a lot. Those are his two like main friends in the game. And of course, Groot and Rocket are also kind of his partners because they have a team up sort of.
Yeah.
And so, so there's still two more chapters to learn about this little baby shark. and I don't know when they're actually going to allow people to unlock those. Maybe it's in the next two seasons or so. But yeah. So until then, that's all we know about Jeff. And he's adorable. And so as far as aesthetic goes, Jeff, you can see so many Jeffs. We should have a Jeff counter. you can see his initial design introduced him as this very like dog-sized shark, simplified but pup-like. And then he had like the picture that I have in our doc that was drawn by Gurihiru, which is a Japanese female Japanese artist team.
Mm-hmm.
And they're the ones that really made him popular. Like the initial screenshots I was showing you, that's a different artist. But Gurihiru, they're very famous in Japan. They're very well known. And so when they took on the Gwenpool title and started drawing Jeff,
mm-hmm.
oh my God. Everyone's like, oh, kawaii. Because he's so cute.
He's so cute.
And so as the character then stepped into Rivals, he got sized up a bit. Like you can see he's a bit bigger. Like you imagine the one on the comic, he's probably like a football, right? But this one, he's like a... He's kind of like a big bulldog.
Yeah.
You know,
pretty
what I mean?
Much.
Yeah. He got sized up a little bit and even more shark-like, you know, his teeth, his jawline. And he's definitely more chonk, which I love. He's got his little rolls and stuff. as well as the pattern. The pattern is also very distinct because you can see comic versus game, the coloration's a bit darker.
Mm-hmm.
And he has those stripes, those like almost tiger stripes on the back, like a tiger shark. He's a little more pronounced all around. His eyes are bigger, his mouth is bigger, his maw is bigger. And Jeff is also a master of disguise, donning random costumes to blend in when he's on the go. And so already he has a couple of costumes in the game, and these are all except for Cuddly Fuzzlefin, which is what I have on the screen. It's his winter gear. The pink dolphin suit is an homage to a comic book outfit. There's an issue. It's so cute. It's an Infinity comic, which is essentially a digital comic that you just swipe down. Mm-hmm. You swipe vertically, and it just goes on and on forever. And basically, Jeff... he loves to swim, obviously, and he wants to have fun with his friends. And so there's a scenario where he's trying to get into the pool, but all the Avengers and all the superheroes, all they see is a shark fin and they get scared. And so to not scare people, because he does the same at the beach.
Yeah.
He goes into the water in the beach thinking it's going to be a good time and everyone is screaming for their lives. It's a shark! Yeah, and he's like...
Da-da, da-da,
yeah, exactly.
Da-da.
And so to combat that, he puts on a dolphin suit in the comics. But the dolphin suit in the comics is the same color as his coloration. So it's gray blue. But in the game, it's that hot pink fuzzy one. but super duper cute. And last but not least, Dino Ma leads the game's art design. So you have him to thank as far as the adorableness that is Jeff the Land Shark in Marvel Rivals. So, powers and paraphernalia. Although Jeff has no powers in the comics, he does have the general characteristics of a shark, including the ability to breathe underwater despite his land nature. He's also noted to have super piscine intelligence.
What?
Which basically means he's a smart animal, aka a fish.
A smart fish.
Meanwhile, in Rivals, Jeff is a strategist, aka a healer, with combative abilities, including Joyful Splash, which is the healing splash, Aqua Burst, Water Blasts for combat, Hide and Seek, that's the the healing bubble, which heals and boosts allies who collect them, and Obvious Cuteness, which is a passive damage reducer.
Oh, that's what it does.
Yeah. And then his team ups include new friends, where he and Rocket can ride on Groot's shoulders one at a time, depending and receiving damage reduction. And then Frozen Spitball, Luna Snow infuses ice energy into Jeff and also can do the same for Namor.
Whoa.
And so this is the part that I was like, oh, wow, this makes a lot of sense. His solo ultimate, mm-hmm. it's Jeff, which is an homage to his comic solo comic book series title, is a particular ultimate. It's a byproduct of Jeff's rivals lore having consumed. So when you read that story,
yeah,
think back. Okay, so he was in the collector's domain. And they're like, okay, we have to get out, him and Mantis and Psylocke. And so as a part of him trying to get out, he kept doing the whirlpool.
Yeah.
Trying to get out. So tiny Jeff trying to get out, trying to break the walls, trying to break his chamber. And along the way, he kept eating. He was eating all of the objects of power in the chambers. And so at one point, he swallows a giant thing that's only labeled PIM.
PIM particle?
PIM particles. So wow. That's why when you play the game and you do the ultimate, he's magically bigger.
He turns big and he's like...
And yeah, and he goes from... like. And it's interesting because I saw a reel the other day where it had like what the sounds sound like when you're on the same team versus when you're on opposition.
Uh-huh.
And so when you're Jeff and you do the ultimate... your teammates hear yummy, yummy, right?
Yeah.
But the other team hears like that weird, rah, rah. And it's so much louder.
Yeah.
Because they're hearing the expansion of him versus that yummy, yummy.
Yummy, yummy.
It's so different. Wow. So I thought it was really interesting. I was like, oh, okay. So it's really important that you understand, like, oh, he ate PIM particles. That's why he does actually get bigger.
Wow. Yeah. That's crazy.
Makes a
background.
Lot of sense. Yeah. I was like, oh, okay. We're learning things here. But yeah, that's it as far as his powers go. So family, friends, and affiliations. Very, very short list here. There is one and only main one, and that is Gwendolyn Poole.
AKA, wow, your girl.
Yeah, Gwen Poole. And so not to be confused with Gwen Stacy. Gwen Poole originated from a variant cover of, you know, the Spider-Gwen sensationalization. And she she was one of like 52 covers.
Oh my gosh.
Of variants. Yeah, of variants that appeared. And so it was kind of like a joke, like, oh, what if Gwen Stacy was Deadpool? And so the design was so immensely popular that they made a character off of that.
Mm.
And so there came Gwenpool. And so we covered a big portion of Gwen's relevance when it comes to Jeff up top. But needless to say, the pool took great care of her shark pal for a few years in comic continuity. And for the uninformed, Gwenpool comes from real life, meaning she could be you or me or anyone else that just happened to be sucked into the world of comic books.
Got it.
And so she is hyper aware of their existence, of things that happen, of canon, of all that stuff, and that they're fictional characters, whereas she is a real person. And so this actually played a crucial part in her bond with Jeff in later years, because when Gwen realized that her comic was ending, it was getting sniped, she was like, she jumps into one of Deadpool's comics.
That's funny.
And she's like, so I need to talk to you about something really serious. And Wade is like, what is it? And she's like, I need you to take Jeff. And just like really dramatic about it. Oh, here she goes. And he like latches on to Wade's leg.
Yeah.
And he's like, ah, oh, what is that? And you know, and she's just like, oh, that's Jeff. And she, and she's like, and Wade is like, what? Well, what did I do? Please don't bleep and cry. That's the last thing I can take right now. And she's like, you gotta take him from me, Wade. And Wade's like, what? No, why would I do that? And she's like, he's a shark. He'll be safer here. And he's like, Gwen, does anything about this place look bleep and safe? And, you know, and he's just like biting on her idea the entire time. That's and so funny. Gwen, again, hyper aware, fourth wall, everything. She's like, I keep losing my books. In order to survive, he needs a reliable book. You always have a reliable book. Uh-huh.
Wow.
He'll survive if I leave him in your narrative. I don't know what happens to him if he stays in mine.
It's so meta. Jeez.
It's so meta. So she essentially wanted him to continue on in comics, and so left him with Deadpool, who then kind of, you know, like Kate comes in, Elsa Bloodstone comes in. They all take care of this shark. And so he bounces from place to place so that he's never left in the dust in comics, as Gwenpool wanted.
That's great.
Yeah, it's really great. And so, yeah, those are all honorable mentions for his caretakers. And it again, he's in so many touch points as far as the comics go. Like, he'll pop up at random with any Avenger. And so he's got a multitude of, like, infinite comics and digital comics because he's popular and he fits anywhere.
Yeah.
Because he's cute and cuddly.
Yeah. Who doesn't want Jeff?
So on the rival side, Gwen otherwise has no counterpart. Although Gwenpool has appeared in various games, mostly mobile. And so she is in, and this list, I mean, I don't know for sure if Jeff is also in the game, maybe just as a mascot with her.
Uh-huh.
But she's in Marvel Future Fight, Marvel Strike Force, Marvel Puzzle Quest, Marvel Contest of Champions, as well as LEGO Marvel Super Heroes 2, Marvel Duel, Marvel Snap, and Fortnite. And so if you don't see Jeff with her in any of those games, chances are if you look at her back, she's got a shark backpack.
Aww.
She loves the shark.
Love that.
And so, you know, as far as rivals and having Gwenpool in the game is concerned, she's not in it, but she exists in the lore. Mm. So again, if you read Jeff's story, it's super duper short, but she's mentioned twice in his origin story. And all that's known about her is that they loved beaches in California and that she's a fourth wall breaker. So it's like the origin story started out as like, oh, you know, one minute he was swimming with Gwen in California beaches in the ocean. And then the next thing he knew, he was in the collector's domain.
Aw.
Yeah, exactly. So it's really like, aw. So somewhere out there in the Marvel Rivals ether, Gwen is looking for Jeff.
Aw.
I know. I can't wait. I hope they bring her in. She's awesome. It's going to be so cool. So notable adversaries. While Jeff had his fair share of run-ins with bad guys in the comics, only one seems to stand out among the rest, and that is the mental organism designed only for killing, aka MODOK. Like I mentioned up top, MODOK is the one responsible for Jeff's existence at all. And the Landshark Shiver is one of the many, many experiments that MODOK created in the lab. Again, cheerily to be a nuisance.
Shiver of shark.
Shiver of shark.
I still don't. No.
Shark shiver.
Nope.
Alliteration. So again, MODOK took on the guise of BRODOK, who we briefly mentioned in episode 46, all about Kate Bishop. And so BRODOK, again, he was the handsome version of MODOK. His head was slightly bigger than his body. So it was like he looked like Fabio, right? Beautiful golden hair.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But his head was just slightly too big for his body. And BRODOK itself is an acronym for biorobotic organism designed overwhelmingly for kissing. So, yeah, again, West Coast Avengers, super silly in its own right. And yeah, basically BRODOK, basically a handsome version of MODOK that he'd created to hit on women. And when it didn't work, he would turn them into raging kaiju monsters.
Oh my gosh.
And it got as far as that he even turned Kate into a literal hawk in West Coast Avengers.
Mm.
So she turns into a kaiju, but she's a hawk kaiju. In a purple suit.
That's hilarious.
So bizarre. Oh my gosh. And he called her Hawk Kate. And when it comes to Jeff, Jeff does not like him. No. Like, he sees him, he's like, rah! You know, he does his little angry nose. But they don't have, otherwise, Jeff doesn't have, like, enemies. I mean, who would be enemies with an adorable baby shark?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, the enemies of his friends are his enemies. And so, yeah, we've not seen a rival's counterpart for MODOK just yet. And he's not even mentioned in any of the lore, as far as I know. At least not the first of three chapters of Jeff's lore, or anybody else's for that matter. But I'm sure we'll see him sooner than later. But there is, of course, the MCU version of MODOK that we saw with Darren Cross, a.k.a. Yellow Jacket, portrayed by Corey Stahl in Ant-Man. And yeah, we don't really have to talk about MODOK so much because either way we slice it, he and Jeff don't have any interaction whatsoever that we know of yet beyond the comics.
I wonder if he'll ever... a live-action Jeff?
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's going to happen. It's going to happen.
Even for just a couple seconds.
Oh, yeah, dude. And so that leaves us with other versions and in other media. And so I know we've talked in abundance about video game Jeff, but Rivals isn't the only game that Jeff appears in. The adorable Landshark has also made appearances in Marvel Puzzle Quest and Marvel Snap in addition to Gwenpool. So... he is playable in Snap for sure. Mm-hmm. I don't remember what his card does, but he is definitely in there. Puzzle Quest, I don't know. Maybe they've changed him to a character. Mm-hmm. I think before he was just a mascot, but you might be able to actually use him now, especially given all this popularity. And so despite these appearances, John Bailey is the first person to actually give the Landshark a voice.
Really?
The first.
I didn't know that.
He's never had a voice until now, which is incredible.
Yeah.
Again, so cool. Yeah, exactly. Kudos to John Bailey. So, and for the record, if you so desire, John is available on Cameo and does Streamily sessions with autographs as well. So go support him and his art. Fantastic, fantastic talent. Absolutely love to support him. And while we've essentially talked about Rivals this entire episode, I did want to note that Jeff's Winter Splash Festival that took place in winter 2024-2025, where successful players could unlock a festive winter postcard, as well as Jeff's cuddly Fuzzlefin costume. Absolute fun. I kind of miss it. I'm sad that you can't just access it anymore. Like, it was a fun little game on the side where you had to use his, what do you call it? The splash, the joyful splash.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And color code your part of the map. And whoever got the most percentage won. And I love that game. And I did all of the rounds and I unlocked it all. Yes, because I wanted that costume. And fun fact, Jeff's incognito dolphin, again, I mentioned this not too long ago. The costume in Rivals is indeed an homage to the one that we see in the It's Jeff Digital Infinity comic number 3, published in 2021. And so I do have a screenshot for you, Jeff, where you can see the cuddly Fuzzlefin, the dolphin. So this is what it looked like in the comic. So it's not pink.
Aw, so
but
cute.
But he's so happy. He's like, and then he's able to swim with his friends because they're not afraid of him anymore. Mm. So cute. And this is, again, Gurihiro.
So good.
Yeah, so good. And so that leaves us with the future of the character in the MCU. So before we actually discuss this, I just wanted to mention, Jeff, as you just mentioned yourself, while this character has yet to step fin into the MCU, Brad Winterbaum, head of television, streaming, and animation at Marvel Studios, has indeed confirmed as recent as December 2024 that Jeff will appear in the Marvel Cinematic Universe at some point. So what do you think? When?
I don't know how, who. It has to be with Deadpool. That would like make the most sense in my opinion.
I think maybe, yeah.
Yeah, like you're not going to have like a full on.
The sky's the limit.
Like you're not gonna, but you're not gonna get like have like he's not gonna like, he's gonna be like an appearance, a cameo.
Yeah.
But like in what capacity?
In what and capacity? Because like if you say Deadpool, I could imagine Wade just walking in with him.
Yeah.
And he's just like almost like a Grogu, like it's a puppet, but it looks really freaking good.
Uh huh.
Like a $1 billion puppet.
Yeah.
A Landshark puppet, and he just waltzes in, and someone's like, Is that a shark? And he's like, oh, no, no, no. It's not just a shark. It's a land shark. And his name is Jeffrey. You know what I mean? But I could also see him just waltzing in any occasion, you know, just like some weird Doctor Strange thing. Maybe it's a portal.
Or maybe, yeah, or maybe Kate Bishop.
Right.
Out of just instead of
right.
She has Lucky and Jeff.
Yeah.
She's like, guys, please.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know what yeah. to do.
It could be America Chavez. Exactly. They could be America Chavez. They travel somewhere.
Oh, God.
The possibilities are truly endless, right?
Yeah.
Or even Spider-Man comes in and he's got him in his little thing. It's like, yeah, I don't know where this came from, but I got this like weird like land shark thing. I don't know what to do with it. And he's just, here you go, Kate. And then he gives it to Kate.
And
like,
he's,
just,
and he's
yeah, exactly. Or they introduce Gwenpool. Like, who knows? Who
That's
knows?
So...
Yeah, but it's going to happen. So says Brad Winterbaum. So...
I mean, hey.
It's his word is as good as gold. So it's gonna happen. Can't wait. See, would you prefer CGI or practical?
How are you gonna get a practical
puppet?
Oh, I thought you meant like get an
like
actual
an actual
shark.
Puppet. I mean,
that'd I be think funny. It would. They would be practical on set, but I think it would be like
kind of like
CGI.
Yeah, because how? What do we know about Ben Grimm? Do we know if he's like full mocap? He is full mocap, right?
Yeah, and then on set they have just like a
rock thing
on
yeah.
a stick
yeah.
for eyeline.
Yeah. So I think they would do a little bit yeah, I think they would do a little bit of both. I think they yeah. would take a Grogu approach. Maybe not as far, because Grogu again has like he can walk. There are mechanisms mm-hmm. that they use to make him walk. But I think for close ups and particular shots they would probably use like practical puppet of some sort, which would be oh my god, he's so cute.
The cutest.
I hope they go Rivals route if and when they bring him in. I hope he's a little like a little anime looking. Like I like the Gurihiru a lot,
yeah.
But if they do make him like a bit bigger and oh,
you gotta just have him as long so as he's cute. Cuddly.
As long as he's a cuddly fuzzle fin.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh gosh. And so suggested reading. So if you're looking for fast reads, check out 2021's It's Jeff Infinity Comic Series, all vertical. So you just swipe on down your phone, your iPad, whatever you're reading on. It's great. They're pretty quick. Usually no dialogue, but it does feature the adorable shark in a number of fun scenarios with our favorite heroes from Kelly Thompson and Gurihiru. 2019's Deadpool series from, again, Kelly Thompson. If you hadn't noticed, she has a gigantic stake in all that is Jeff the Land Shark being its co-creator. But yeah, the Deadpool series from she, Chris Bachalow, Wayne Faucher, Tim Townsend, Alve, Jaime Mendoza, Live Say, Victor Alzaba, and David Curiel. 2023's Extreme Venomverse number 5 with a story from Kelly Thompson and Gurihiru right in the front of the issue. It's Jeff and a symbiote.
Wow.
It is a straight up symbiote land shark.
That would be
It's pretty funny.
Insane.
It's pretty funny. So check that out. And then last but not least, 2024's Jeff Week Infinity Comic, written and drawn by my pal, Gustavo
wow.
Duarte.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are so good.
Yeah, Gustavo's fantastic. So definitely check that one out. It's so great. And with all that said, that's the end of the show. And don't forget, Jeff, the Land Human, and I will be playing some Rivals on camera.
Yeah.
So be sure to tune in for full clips on YouTube and subscribe to our Patreon for first dibs.
You're going
to
see Gamer Jeff come
Gamer
out.
Gamer Jeff, yes. I'm going to bleep the entire thing. Next episode, with the release of Captain America Brave New World,
woo!
We're going to dive into said Brave New World and talk about the film itself because it will be out next
spoilers!
Week.
Spoilers!
Yeah, spoilers galore. We're not doing this spoiler-free stuff anymore.
Yeah.
So definitely be sure to show up. Show up for Captain America.
Yes.
Like, be there for Sam Wilson. Be there for the
yes.
entire crew. And check out the film in theaters. Valentine's Day.
Woo! It is a love story.
And we'll be sure to cover the fan event as well. And so it's going to be a good time.
It is.
Marvel is coming back really, really, really strong.
Oh, yeah.
And finally, a thank you to all of our Patreon supporters and a special We Are Groot salute to Laura, Edgar, Tyler, Nats, Robin, Jenny, Andrea, Ariel, Sherry, Katie, Melanie, Ed, Joe, Liz, Andrew, Ashley, and Chris.
Woo!
Follow us on social at STRKCNTRST. And if you like what you hear, review, rate, and subscribe.
Once again, thanks for listening. We will catch y'all in the next one.
Later.
Bye.